We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And welcome to the PHLY Eagles podcast. Bo Wolf, Zach Berman, on a Thursday, the first day of March Madness. Zach, how you doing?
Doing great. Excited for the show. Look forward to this day every year. When I was growing up, I used to take off. I used to have a cold or whatever.
Absolutely.
On the Thursday.
Yeah, this was you could convince mom and dad to let you stay home on this day. Absolutely.
And then my mom started catching on around like fifth grade, sixth grade. She was on to me then. But I love the first day of the NCAA tournament and looking forward to some good bracket talk, our version of bracket talk today, along with other Eagles news.
Yeah, a bit of a surprise because you and I were batting around ideas for this show. And I gave you on one hand, you know, we could have a big picture Jalen Hurts conversation. Yeah. You know, has anything they've done this offseason changed your expectations for the year that is going to be ahead for him? They've got a new offensive coordinator. They got Saquon Barkley to take some of the maybe running load off of him, all that stuff. But, or we could talk about like the guys at the bottom of the roster. And you are Mr. like, let's grow this show. Yeah. Let's make it for the widest audience possible. Yeah. And you said, no. Let's talk about Lacetus Smith and Taiwan Mullen. That's what you want to do.
I wouldn't necessarily frame it that way. Oh, although that's not inaccurate. I don't want to use that Jalen Hurts, card, if you will, right now, right? Mm. That's a show that I want to spend time preparing for, watching some film on.
I would imagine there's opportunities together to have multiple Jalen Hurts.
Yeah. Games, so I thought like, okay. And then I wanted some, you know, you're only doing a show the day of the NCAA tournament. Well,
sure.
Four times, right? So Thursday, Friday this week, Thursday, Friday next week.
What about the Monday of the national championship game?
And the Monday of the national title game, right? So people are into brackets right now. So I thought we could do a bracket type show. And
yes, I think this has a chance to be our most inscrutable exercise yet.
And knowing the mind that you have, I figured you would come up with an interesting wrinkle, and you did. And then as I'm there prepping for the show, the Eagles make news.
They made news last night, too, yes, since we last spoke. So two new additions to the roster since we talked yesterday. Why don't you tell us about it?
Yeah, so the big one is what just came out, which is Paris Campbell is signing with the Eagles.
Are you hot in here, by the way?
Am I hot in here?
Yeah.
No, I'm not hot in here. Are you?
Are you guys hot? Are you hot, Julia? I'm a little bit hot.
Here it goes. This is gold right here. Look at that. That joke is gold. How about that? Look at you. You're cracking Joya up. It's great to have Joya back, by the way. And yeah, look at that. 4 days in a row.
Freshly washed.
Freshly washed. Still looks the same color. Color didn't run.
What color do you think it is, Julia?
Thank you, Julia. Thank you. Thank you.
I think there's some
he
orange.
He thinks it's orange.
I think there's orange.
He thinks this is orange. Where's the Flyers thing in the background?
Yeah. No, it's a different shade.
Yeah.
All right, Paris Campbell.
Anyways, yeah, Paris Campbell. This is according to ESPN's Adam Schefter. I'm working on confirmation of it, but there's no reason to think Adams is wrong on this. Paris Campbell, who a second-round pick in 2019. Eagles fans are very familiar with this story. By now, the Eagles were choosing between Paris Campbell and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside at the number 57 overall pick. They chose J.J. Paris Campbell goes two picks later to the Colts. Their offensive coordinator and their wide receiver aficionado at the time was Nick Sirianni. But in his time with Sirianni, really was not productive. He was injured during those first few years. He came on a bit in his last year with the Colts, 2022. He had 63 catches, signed with the Giants last offseason, really had a nothing season with the Giants. He had 20 catches for 104 yards.
Throw a guy under the bus.
But Paris Campbell, 27 years old.
Passes from whatever his name was, Ben DiNucci. Tommy Gutlets.
Tommy DeVito, okay.
Okay.
Tommy DeVito and Ben DiNucci are not alike.
Are alike. They're similar level quarterbacks.
Paris Campbell, who is at the 2019 Combine, he ran the fastest 40 there, 4.31 seconds. He was he had a 90 catch season at Ohio State during his last year there. He's kind of a gadget type player. You're not expecting a high A dot with him. But
a poor man's Curtis Samuel, you might say.
You know, it's interesting. That was the guy he replaced at Ohio State. So they played a similar role in Urban Meyer's offense and really hasn't been able to be that in the NFL. He's played 70% of his snaps in the slot. And I think that's what you can expect from him.
Well,
like
I know you touched
type
on
role.
It, but he is a sort of an infamous like player in Eagles history because the debate when they were on the clock, and it was like a debate by all reports that was happening while they were on the clock between J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and Paris Campbell, and Jeffrey Lurie put his thumb on the scale for J.J. Arcega-Whiteside as the story is told. And, you know, Howie Roseman would say that like that's who was at the top of our board, but some of the scouts were agitating for Paris Campbell. Obviously, neither one seems like they were the right pick, and Terry McLaurin went later in that draft, right? And DK Metcalf also went after, and like those, like Metcalf was a medical issue, but it's just funny that like he's here now, and it's like what might have been.
Yeah, you outlined it there, and let's get into the weeds because you and I have done a lot of work on that draft, and that pick in particular is like infamous in Eagles history. And you could say, why were they like choosing between two guys when they were on the clock? Like, shouldn't you have that prepared ahead of time? That's a reasonable response. If memory
especially
serves
at the same position.
Yeah. If memory serves, they were expecting the draft Mecole Hardman that year. Right. And the Chiefs traded up in front of the Eagles, took Hardman. And that was like the guy that they really liked. So Hardman's off the board and then they're kind of going, and there was a difference of opinion on JJ versus Paris Campbell. JJ, like you said, the belief was that Jeffrey Lurie kind of pushed the scale on JJ. The reports or these things that we heard, we've done reporting on this, is that, and this might be some sort of history revised, but that the data back group at the Eagles, the analytics back group, like JJ, the contested catch rate. Exactly. Well, it's the old expression that, you know, a good pick has 1,000 fathers and a bad pick's an orphan, right? No one kind of wants to take credit for a bad pick. But just to finish that thought, Eagles fans kind of lament they didn't take DK Metcalf. From our reporting, DK Metcalf was not a consideration for them in the second round because of the medical grade that he had. It wasn't their evaluation of the player. It was that he had the medical red flag. When Jeffrey Lurie and the Eagles kind of look back at that draft, the player they feel they missed out on was Terry McLaurin, who went 76.
Yeah, I think there is, like, in talking about this thing that happened when they were on the clock, right? It is probably true that, like, we don't have the full story yep. of what happened, and it's not exactly, like, our understanding is probably not exactly reflective of what the actual conversation was like. And you would wonder, like, why, how could it be that you were on the clock still debating between two players at the same position? Isn't that what all the work you do yeah. leading up to the draft is all about? The flip side to that is, like, even if it's not exactly what happened, the way that it's relayed tells a story that, like, that's how some people in the building viewed it. And it's the story of it is more about not everybody being in lockstep, right? And
sure.
it didn't take long for that story to come out, right? It wasn't like just because
yep.
People got fired and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside didn't turn out to be much of anything, unfortunately. It's like that was sort of the dynamic in the building, and people thought that, like, this was Jeffrey Lurie putting his thumb on the scale. And we've also talked over the years many times about, like, that's totally his prerogative. You know, he owns the team, that's fine. And, you know, he's been around these decisions for a long time, and Howie Roseman has been around him for a long time. Of course, they're going to talk about these things. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to lead to a bad decision. You know, you could argue that this is what led to Jalen Hurts.
Sure.
Right? But it's just an interesting, you know, sliding doors of Eagles picks, and probably wouldn't have turned out all that different if they had picked Paris Campbell.
Yeah, that's the thing. The Paris Campbell part is important here, because Eagles fans kind of lament, oh, they could have had DK Metcalf. It was never JJ or Metcalf. It was JJ or Paris Campbell. And yeah, they could have gone Paris Campbell. Now, Paris Campbell, look, I was really high on Paris Campbell going into the draft. I was searching through, like, I did the Twitter search at Zburn Paris Campbell. There's always receipts.
Yep.
And I was actually on 97.5 with Jamie Lynch.
Wow.
Talk, yeah. I see the Jamie Lynch quote tweet, like, Z Berm talking up Paris Campbell. And I was saying Paris Campbell's a guy to watch out for, that Doug Peterson's has been looking for this type of player for the Eagles offense. And I mentioned, you know, that's where the fastest 40 and the 90 catches, all that was there. Paris Campbell was someone who I really liked coming out of Ohio State. Clearly hasn't had the career that was expected of him. Injuries are a part of that, but he also hasn't really been, like, the dynamic threat. But he's still young. There's familiarity in the building with Nick Sirianni, with Kevin Patullo. And, I don't think this changes the Eagles' draft plans whatsoever. But what this does, and we've been talking about it, you never want to be in a position where you're forcing a pick. Like, you don't want to go into the draft saying, we need position X to fill the depth chart. You want the draft to be a long-term thought process, not like, we need to fill this spot on the depth chart. And Paris Campbell gives you an option for the number three spot.
So can I ask you then, why all of a sudden you're okay with this, but you were so anti Devontae Parker?
Yeah, of course you can ask me that. You can ask me anything on the, well, not anything, within reason. Shouldn't offer you that. Yeah, because I think Paris Campbell has a little more upside and a little more juice. Now, the Devontae Parker thing, there's literally no guaranteed money in the contract, right?
Which we said at the time.
Yeah. Oh, okay. My point is this. Last week, we were doing live shows for every signing. If every move they made, I'm like, yeah, okay. I said at the time, Devontae Campbell just doesn't do anything. I would rather have signed a 26-year-old with upside or some theoretical upside than Devontae Parker there. Paris Campbell has...
But it's not... He's not taking anyone's spot. It's a free roll. It's totally fine.
Yeah, but there's an opportunity. I would check what Sunset Shaz says here. There's an opportunity cost with every signing too, right? So
not really. They still signed Paris Campbell. He's not taking anyone's opportunity.
Well, I'm not
away.
Saying it was either or. I'm saying at some point, every rep that Devontae Parker takes this summer is a rep that in theory could go to somebody else.
Okay. There right? are also so many reps to go around.
Okay, I mean, like, I really...
It's the exact same thing
I really
just talked
think
about.
The most
this means that if all it does is allow you to not have to reach for a yeah. wide receiver in the fourth round or whatever it is, it's fine.
honestly, I don't think we need to relitigate the Devontae Parker signing.
We're going to talk about Devontae Parker every day from now until August.
I got nothing. I was unmoved by the Devontae Parker signing. I like the Paris Campbell signing more because of the upside.
Never in his career done anything even comparable to Devontae Parker. You're Mr. Julio Jones over here.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just looking for a little bit of intellectual consistency.
Yeah, I didn't think that I would be pinned to a wall on my Devontae Parker opinion. We did an emergency show on Devontae Parker. I was like, I'm unmoved on this signing. And now all of a sudden, suddenly I am being treated Devontae Parker like I gave the vows at my wedding to Emily, like for Devontae Parker. I mean, I like this Paris Campbell signing more than I like the Devontae Parker signing.
Should we make a bet on who's going to have more receiving yards for the Eagles? I actually think that I might go Campbell just because I feel like if they're going to keep a guy and he plays a role just to be the wide receiver screen guy, maybe that I could see them talking themselves into that. So I'm not sure I want to go on that thing, but we certainly know where you stand.
Yeah, I'm going with Paris Campbell here. J'adore Paris Campbell. Is that
look
thing?
At you.
Yeah,
very nice.
Look at that. I can't do that. I can't do that.
Where's your Montreal? Give me a little bit of the French Canadian.
I think that's a generalization that they go, I mean, I spent a lot of time in Montreal in my life. I've never heard someone say that.
Well, I guess that's more French.
I think that's a generalization. Yeah, no, I used to go to Montreal to visit my family there just about every year.
Right up there.
And the stop sign would say, Arrête.
Yeah.
My French isn't good, but that's how I would learn my French from what the street signs were in Montreal.
Mm. Now, you know, there's a good, like, if you see the little hat over an E,
yeah,
it usually means that, like, in English, you would put an S after. So, arrête is like arrest. Like,
oh, is that
halt,
right?
Yes.
Oh, oui.
There you go. all right, well.
Oh, and then the other signing last night. So this actually came out. This was on the transaction wire, the NFL transaction wire. I actually got a text from someone on the beat. So the Eagles signed Tyler Hall, the cornerback, slot corner, was with the Raiders.
Love a guy whose name sounds like a place that you might have lived in college.
Okay, never thought about it, but that's fair. Was with the Raiders the past 2 years.
Matt Gell was just up to shenanigans living on Tyler Hall.
With the Rams at one point. So Tyler Hall actually, so as I was saying, it's not about us, but I got a text like, hey, good job breaking the Tyler Hall signing. And I was like, literally, this was on the NFL transaction wire. Like, this wasn't.
Were you the first to tweet it?
I think John McMullen.
I thought
actually,
McMullen.
Yeah. Okay. I think McMullen did. Credit to John Mack. Actually, credit to the NFL for this was on
credit
the
to McMullen yeah. for popping in first.
So each day the NFL has a transaction wire that we in the media get access to. I got back for I check it every afternoon, and I was actually at the barbershop yesterday, and I got back from the barbershop and I checked it. I said, "Oh, Tyler Hall," and then I saw.
How about this? You and I both getting haircuts on the same day.
Yeah, yours looks sharp, man. You look good.
It's like we've synced.
No, we're in a visual medium now. Anyways.
The odds of the same day. What are you going to, who knew?
So I
guess it's actually they're not that bad because you're getting a haircut like every fourth day.
I'm not getting a haircut every fourth day.
So
I was due though. Anyways, Tyler Hall has experience as a slot cornerback with the Raiders. We said last year that the Eagles, Howie Roseman said the Eagles weren't well stocked enough during training camp at slot cornerback. Tyler Hall gives them some experience there. So, again, not something where you say that he's your starting slot this year, but he has legit NFL experience. Went to Wyoming with Marcus Epps, I believe. So him and Marcus might be training out in the gym out in California together. But yeah, so slot cornerback addition. So those were the two moves for the Eagles. And a quick shout out, you can check out, we have a story, but it's really like, almost like a landing page up on allphly.com right now, where every player that the Eagles have added, there's, I have like a capsule on his role, and then there is a quote that the player said, so like his words, and then you can find actually a link to the grades that Bo and I did, and embedded in there, you can find our video recaps for every single player. So you can check that out on allphly.com. And that is, please be a diehard, but that is actually free for all to read.
Oh, well, there you go. I want to get to another quote of somebody else in a minute. But before we do that, Zach, I want to talk about Philly sports trips, because I don't know how many of you are watching who took part in the Philly sports trip down to Clearwater with our good friends on the PHLY Philly show. But talking to Jamie and Renee and Tyler, they were just talking about how much fun they had talking to everybody. They had this, the sit down with Charlie Manuel, and Philly Sports Trips just did it up for them. And it was a fantastic time. Everybody was raving about the experience. And so we are excited to further this partnership with Philly Sports Trips. Looking forward to many more fun things in the future. And you can go to allphly.com/events to learn more and keep an eye out for maybe some exciting opportunities ahead.
Game time. We talk about game time often on here. I went to the Sixers game on Monday. There's a big Flyers game coming up this Saturday. You know, the Phillies are coming up north pretty soon. You're going to want tickets to that opening series against the Braves. The best place to find tickets is Game Time. Buying tickets to your favorite events should not be stressful. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater near you, with killer deals and last-minute tickets and the best price guarantee. You can stop stressing over the tickets and start getting hyped for the fun you'll have. They have images of seat views, easy to find and buy tickets for every kind of event in your area, with the lowest price guarantee, event cancellation protection, job loss protection, and more. Game Time is the place for last-minute tickets. Forget planning months in advance. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the day of the event. Get exclusive flash deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PHLY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PHLY for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
You were talking about the quotes that some of the guys had said. I wanted to ask you about a tweet you put out yesterday.
Okay.
That, you know, everybody's always reading Zberm's tweets, but I feel like I heard from more people about this tweet you put out than any other tweet you've
really
put out in recent history. And it was all about people wondering about, like, why it is that Howie Roseman needs to have this particular quote on his office wall.
So let's give the backstory here. The Eagles have we've complimented them in the past. Their video staff, production staff,
outstanding.
Yeah, and they were following Saquon Barkley for Saquon's first day in Philadelphia. So you kind of see what's cool for this. Like, I know it's cool for the fans to see any of this. What me as a reporter, I like to see is it takes me to places I can't often go. Right,
a little palace intrigue.
Yeah, I can't just walk up to the second floor at NovaCare and knock on Jeff Stoutland's door, and knock on Al Calabi's door, knock on Brandon Hunt's door.
Yeah, it would be fun for you to do that, to try at least.
I would love that. I've been up on that floor.
See how far you can get before you get accosted.
It's been a bit of time since I've been up there, but yeah, I've been up there. In any event, Howie Roseman, so you see his office, and when they've done this in the past, and Nick, I admit, I always like to see what's in the office, right? I mean, I have a screenshot. Sorry. I have a screenshot from a few years ago of Nick's office. And I saw there was like a Rocky thing. And I was just trying, because you can always find stories in these little details, right? People are deliberate about what they put in their office. If you took a screenshot of us doing our remote shows, sometimes you can say, why is that book in that corner? And why is that sign in that corner? And I can give you significance for each of those. Anyways, in these off, so Howie has a big quote graphic there that says, producing talented players year in and year out is not a luxury, it's a necessity. clearly how he thought this was important to have up there, right? It's a daily reminder. It's something he sees every day, that quote. And that quote is actually from Theo Epstein, who, as I've said before, and longtime listeners know that I have great admiration for Theo Epstein's team building and leadership ability. And Theo Epstein said that in a 2011 interview with Buster Olney and ESPN the magazine. Also have great admiration for Buster Olney. So I would have loved to be party to that conversation, right? But yeah, so that's you got to think this is something that Howie has earmarked and kind of put away.
I don't want to speak for you, but I would like to just guess as to the arc of your understanding of that quote. I'm guessing when you first saw that quote, you said, huh, that does not look like anything particularly incisive. It's basically just a description of his job. I wonder why that's up there. And then when you saw that it was Theo Epstein, you were like, oh, okay, well, now I love it. It's Theo.
Wow, your impression of me is, I don't think that's how I talk.
I could have given you the Melvin. I laid off the Melvin on that one.
Yeah, so because...
I mean, it's not the most incisive thing.
Well, typically you see like motivational stuff right up there. You walk through NovaCare Complex, you have like, you know, inspirational Martin Luther King quotes, right? And Jonas Salk quotes and Vince Lombardi quotes, right? And you have like, there's certain quotes that are kind of, whether it's cliche or it's kind of on form, it's the prototypical, you walk by that, it motivates you, it inspires you. This is one, yeah, it's kind of sounds like the job description of a player.
I also don't love the verb producing.
Okay, why not?
Well, because he's not making the players.
Okay, he's acquiring the players. Yeah. Well, in any event, it was the context with which Theo Epstein said it is relevant. Theo Epstein was asked in the interview how he can instill a winning attitude with the Chicago Cubs. And he talked about when there's long-term contracts, you can only do so much to influence a player's behavior. But you can have a significant impact on young players that you draft or sign, what they stand for as players and in their lives. It's important to have a farm system everyone in the organization cares about. Producing talented players year in and year out is not a luxury, it's a necessity. So essentially what this is like building this sense of culture, this attitude from within, producing these players from within, like have it so that when Jason Kelce retires, you have Cam Jurgens waiting. When Fletcher Cox retires, you have, let's say, Jalen Carter waiting. Now, what's interesting here, yes, is I've recited on the show a number of other times a quote from Theo Epstein from his resignation letter in Chicago, where he talked about, like a broken record here, but he talked about the difference between building a team and maintaining a team. And he said he wasn't as good at the maintenance stage of it. So actually, what's interesting about this quote is he wasn't as good at kind of the replenishing of the talent, or like when you get, he was really good at finding that talent and acquiring that talent and putting that attitude in place and getting your Chris Bryant and your Javi Baez and Kyle Schwarber, and I can go on down the list. But then when those guys get traded or when those guys sign elsewhere, who are the next guys up, right? And that's kind of the big question for a lot of these teams. You're not in baseball terms, you're not drafting 1-1 when you're winning, right? And it becomes much harder to always have like that stable of players coming up in the system. And so I found this that,
yeah, I mean, sustaining success
exactly
in these leagues where they're built for parity is very difficult.
Yeah. So that was interesting. I mean, I actually think Howie had a quote in his, so the office has been redesigned, and Howie had a quote before where I might be butchering it here because I don't have it in my notes in front of me, but you're not paid to play, you're paid to win. And I forget who said that. But it was kind of like an interesting thing to look at each day. So clearly Howie was intentional with putting this up there. It's not like he just walked into his office one day and was like, oh, there's a quote from Theo Epstein in 2011.
Yeah, he's choosing what's going up there. For
exactly.
Sure.
So
Well, that's why I think people were so taken by it, because it doesn't seem like something that's like you need this daily reminder. But okay.
Yeah, but that's what's interesting about it being in his office. It's not as if this is in the locker room. Like, this is in
a place only for, it is interesting.
It's only for him to see, right? Yeah. So it's like he's viewing this as a reminder each day. It's not like they're putting this, you know, some of these, the Martin Luther King and the Jonas Salk quote, those were in a hallway that everyone in the building walked through. Like Jeffrey Lurie or Joe Banner or Don Smolensky or whoever was putting that together, was putting the facility in place at that point, like, wanted that quote up there. Yeah, this is for Howie and Howie alone to see every day. So, yeah, that I found that noteworthy.
Anything else from the Saquon video that you thought was interesting?
There was I've seen some people referenced the Saquon after seeing like Brandon Graham and then seeing his new coaches. It was like
that was very funny.
Yeah, the Key and Peele. Am I pronouncing it correctly? Yeah. But no, just kind of like inside people's offices. I've never been in Al Calabi's office. You see Calabi's terminal of computers there, and same thing with Brandon Hunt and you know Stoutland talking to him like, oh, Miles Sanders is my guy. Yeah. It's like we're really driving home the Miles Sanders thing. So I enjoyed that.
Okay. Last thing from the like Eagles content sphere. Mm-hmm. Did you think there was anything interesting from the Lane Johnson, Jordan Mailata appearance on New Heights?
Yeah, that offensive line room needs some renovations, right? They have a massage chair that doesn't work. I mean, Dippin' Dots, though. I knew they had a Dippin' Dots thing, but I'm curious how you get that replenished all the time. You were about to...
No, I thought the funniest thing was how often Fred Johnson is falling asleep.
He has a condition.
he apparently has a condition that makes him fall asleep.
Yeah, Landon Dickerson's on his phone all the time. Yeah. Like that. So there was who was the name? I was actually going to text you. I didn't know if you had listened to it when he was talking about Lane was talking about the other guy who liked him other than Stoutland. I didn't know if he said Howie, but I didn't know if he said Lonnie or something like that. I have to listen back.
No, I didn't catch
okay.
that.
Okay. Lane's impression of Stoutland was like spot on. Yeah. not Eagles related, but I got to admit, I was cracking up alone in my car at Lane Johnson's story of the girl who wanted to hook up with him in like eighth grade or seventh grade.
That was very funny. Yes. It's a very funny story.
Yeah, the self-deprecation there, yes. Going to play NFL Blitz. Yeah. Kelsey's story about dancing. The girl wanted to go to the dugout. And he's like, I'm not in the baseball. There's no game going on. Like, didn't pick up the clues. Mm. Like, come on, Jason, you know? And then... and then Jordan Mailata kind of ripping on them. You know, Jordan Mailata was much more smooth. So, yeah. What?
I'm not gonna say what I want to say.
Okay. I don't know what you were gonna say, but anytime you say I'm not gonna say I like when you do that, because typically when you say things that you want to say, those aren't very becoming for me. So,
okay. Should we get into the inscrutable game?
Yeah, and we're going to play this over 2 days. You know, we've got the first round these next 2 days, so yeah it makes sense.
By the way, I hope everybody joined the Sickos bracket on ESPN. Look forward to keeping track of that. The winner is going to get to come on the show if they want to.
Yeah. And if anyone wants to give some score updates in the chat, I would love that.
So. Who'd you bet on in the Michigan State game? That's the first game.
Mississippi State. Mm. Chris Jans. He's got a great defensive team. Not as good this year as last year. Not as good this year as last year, but
I'm surprised. You would have struck me as well. Izzo in March. I mean, can't bet against Izzo.
I mean, come on. That's like a basic thing to say. I mean.
Sorry. Is that not
I said
your
that.
General frame of reference for most things?
Basic?
Well, former first round pick.
Wow. You call me basic? yeah, I like Mississippi State more this year than Michigan State. But Michigan State's got a local guy on their team, their point guard. It's local.
Oh, yeah?
AJ.
Epinesa?
No, AJ Howland, I think it is. And yeah, H O U L A N D, I believe it is.
Okay. Very exciting. And did you take, by the way, you teased your blue blood. Did you take Kentucky to win it all?
I took Kentucky to win it all. And I'll give you a quick thing on Kentucky here. I think that in the NCAA tournament in particular, my views on the NCAA tournament have kind of evolved over the years. And I admittedly don't follow college basketball as much as I used to. And when I covered it, like, I could give you the skinny on every team, right? But
I would love to, it's like a half dream to one year, just fully immerse myself back into college basketball just for a season. I think that would be fun.
But I think the thing that jumps out to me about teams now is you got to have guys who can like get their own buckets, right? Like you watch Virginia, the reason why, and I've watched a lot of Virginia basketball over the years. The reason why Virginia struggles so much in my eyes in recent years in the tournament is they don't have guys who can create their own shots and make their own buckets. And Kentucky, I know they have work to do defensively. They're not a great rebounding team, but they have four guys who you get the ball to them and they'll create their own shot and score. And I think in close games and when you're trying to go 6-0, having a number of guys who can get their own bucket, that's what jumps out to me.
Okay, I like it. All right. What we have here is a bracket of mostly future signings and a couple other players on the roster with very lofty expectations, because the truth is that most of these players signed to futures contracts are facing an uphill climb to make the week one roster. There are about 25 of them, and so we've extended the bracket to get it to 32. And the stakes here are, for most of the players, unless otherwise noted, it's the odds of them making the week one opening season active 53-man roster, okay? And for a few other guys, we'll have different stakes, but that's the general baseline, and we're going to go through it bracket style. We've got 32 contestants, and as Zach said, we're going to do this over the course of 2 days. Are you ready to begin?
Let's do it.
All right, our first matchup, randomized matchups. Cornerback Taiwan Mullen. Now, Taiwan, spelled differently, T-I-A-W-A-N, but it is pronounced Taiwan, according to the Eagles bio. Taiwan Mullen is 5'8", 181. He's a slot guy, I'm assuming, by the body type. Was on the practice squad for a short time after being undrafted as a rookie last season with the Chargers. Spent a little bit of time with the Eagles, signed him to a futures deal. He's going up against, and this is a different one, the odds of Devin White being on the Eagles in 2026.
Oh, okay. All right. I prepared for this differently. I thought these two columns were going against each other.
Okay. Oh.
I see. Okay. So that's no problem at all, though. I'm still prepped to do this.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's not how brackets work.
Okay.
right? You're the one who was saying Mr. Brackets.
Yeah. I thought.
I get it, but that's. It's okay.
That the two columns facing each other were who was going against each other. In any event, between these two, I'm going to go Devin White on the team in 2026. I think Taiwan Mullen's just, even though the Eagles had him on the practice squad last year, I think he's going to be caught a bit in a numbers crunch in the slot. And I think there's a pathway to Devin White recapturing his form and the Eagles re-signing him, right? The one-year contract's essentially like a show-me deal. He's still young. He's you know, 26. So if he rediscovers form, and if he's like an alpha in the middle of the defense, then sure, the Eagles keep him. They don't let him go like they let C.J. Gardner-Johnson go.
Yeah, I think without having had a chance to watch Taiwan Mullen play, the fact that he, you know, wasn't able to make a roster with the Chargers that was pretty defensive back poor from our understanding, and the fact that they signed. What's his name yesterday? Tyler Hall. Competition at nickel, pretty steep. I don't think that Devin White's going to be on the team in 2026. I wonder if I should have made that even loftier, but yes, I think that is more likely.
The extent of my Taiwan Mullen conversations were about Indiana football, so didn't get a chance
Antoine
to watch
Randall
my practice.
L, Nate Sudfeld?
No, kind of the direction of the program, right? When they made the coaching change, they hired Kurt Cignetti, so that kind of thing.
Okay. Well, we've got one matchup down, and now it's time to talk about our friends at FOCO, because you know all about FOCO. We've been talking about FOCO since the very beginning. Moses FOCO, you love it. FOCO is a leading manufacturer of sports and entertainment merchandise with a product line that includes apparel, accessories, toys, collectibles, novelty items, and more. It is the best officially licensed gear for all sports and fandoms. If you're going to a basketball or a hockey game, like I'm doing on Saturday, show off your love with team-branded friendship bracelets. Whether it is hoodies, jackets, beachwear, or even overalls, there is something for fans for almost every occasion. FOCO has hooked PHLY up and provided awesome pieces for our sets. FOCO always has our back for Philly sports, and they have yours too. Get the best gear around by using the link in our description. For all non-presale items, use the promo code PHLY10 for 10% off.
I'm sure some of you were watching Major League Baseball, and you saw Ohtani, you saw Betts, you saw... you like what I did there?
Yeah, that was good. Did you do that on purpose?
Yeah, I did, actually. Thank you. I couldn't keep a straight face, though.
Then the laugh's a little bit.
Okay.
Don't laugh at
you. Anyways, opening day in the United States is coming up. It's one of the best holidays of the year for all of us. And you can join our very own Jamie Lynch, Renee Washington, and John Foley for a pregame live show and watch party at Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Our friends at Miller Lite will have 16-ounce specials from 11:30 a.m. to close. PHLY is going to be raffling off PHLY swag, game day swag, and more. And then courtesy of our friends at Coors Light, we are hosting our first of many Sixers watch parties. Join us at Deke's Barbecue on West Berkeley Street when the Sixers take on the Cavs at 7:30. That's March 29th. Show up and enter a raffle to win two tickets, section 116, row 13, to the April 9th Sixers-Detroit game. You can see Kate Cunningham in person. Deeks will be offering $3 20-ounce drafts all night long. Check out all of our upcoming events at allphly.com under the events calendar to RSVP. And I've already made the pitch, but make sure you become a diehard so you can read exclusive content like a mock draft that's dropping tomorrow that is going to be fun to write this afternoon.
Okay. Next up, Zach McPherson, who transitioned to the slot last summer, then suffered a season-ending injury, former fourth-round pick. He is still on the roster, back for another year to compete. He goes up against Jason Poe. Jason Poe, 6'1", 300, center from Mercer, went undrafted in 2022, has spent time with the Niners and the Jets, one of a couple potential backup centers on the roster at the moment.
Yeah, so if I'm basic with my evaluations and I like big school players who are high draft picks, Jason Poe doesn't fit that description.
He does not, but you know where he's good?
Where?
At the Poe of attack.
Oh, look at that. Play on words. You're good at that.
How do the Ravens not sign Poe?
Edgar Allen, right?
Yeah, come on.
They made a good signing today, Josh Jones. I think they were watching our show.
Your boy.
Eric DaCosta was watching that and was like, hey, Zach Berman thinks this highly of him.
I mean, if they trade for Parham next, then you'll really know.
He really liked Kyle Hamilton coming out of the draft. So
day three of Parham watch continues.
Between these two, I would go Zach McPherson, who had a real big special teams role 2 years ago on the Super Bowl team. He's coming off the injury, should be healthy for this offseason. He'll have a shot to be a depth corner slash special teams guy.
Yeah, I'm not sure that he was going to make the team last year.
Interesting. You think it was like a last stand type thing, putting him in the slot?
Maybe. Now, you know, Goodrich, who we'll talk about, ended up making the roster as the backup slot. And I think McPherson probably would have made it over Goodrich just because he is better on special teams. But yeah, I think he's got an uphill shot to make this roster. Whereas Jason Poe probably has a more difficult road. I would agree with that. So I'm happy to go McPherson. Maybe we should have done separate brackets for this one just since it's the tournament, but it's too late to do that now.
This is fun. I always like a bracket. Yeah.
All right. We have a matchup now of two non-futures guys. And remember, we're shooting for very high, lofty expectations here because these guys do not have a great shot. So we're going Kelee Ringo starts all 17 games for the Eagles in 2024, or James Bradberry makes the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, so between these two, I think Kelee starting 17 games, I think this is more like a 116 matchup here. Maybe not, but look, I liked what I saw from Kelee from that Seattle game on. I didn't like it so much during training camp, but I thought he showed some juice. If the Eagles don't draft a corner high or trade for a big name corner, I think Kelee Ringo goes into camp the front runner to be the starting corner.
I agree. Actually, I kind of wish I had made this one more lofty, too. Kind of defeats the purpose of the game if the winner is going to be like Kelee Ringo going up against Devin White. But I agree. Tequila Ringo.
It's our game. We can defeat the purpose of it. I have something that's on my mind if I can.
Sure.
Who was reaching out to you about that tweet? You said you've never heard more people talk to you about that tweet. Who's, are you getting
not
like
about,
side?
Not about you, about like from a Howie, like why does Howie have this quote?
Oh, okay. I was like.
Not a complaint about you.
Oh, okay. All right.
No. It's like, did you see this tweet?
Oh,
like,
gotcha.
Why does Howie have this on his wall?
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Fair enough then.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm sorry. I was just trying to give some insight behind the scenes.
No. Okay. I think, yeah, I did not mean to say that it was,
gotcha.
It was
okay.
A critique of you. It was
gotcha.
Like,
okay.
Why, what, this quote doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. Fair enough. Okay.
It would be like, if we had a thing on the wall here that said, talk about football for an hour.
Inform and entertain the audience.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I would actually like that. Inform and entertain the audience, right? Okay. At all times.
All right. We move on. Defensive tackle Thomas Booker IV. 6'3", 301, was a fifth-round pick of the Houston Texans in 2022 out of Stanford. Played 10 games as a rookie where he was playing defensive end. Eagles have moved him to defensive tackle since he joined the practice squad last season. Man after your heart, a two-time academic All-American.
From Baltimore. At Gilman School, I believe.
Thomas Booker, his sister, played tennis at Princeton. And speaking of a man after your heart, I saw this in his bio. Would love to manage a tech company.
That's awesome. I mean, I admire that. I would, shout out to our loyal listener. When I was in Seattle, got to see the Amazon Sphere.
Mm.
It's awesome.
Thomas Booker, he's going up against Grant Calcaterra, and the lofty thing for Grant Calcaterra is 20 catches in 2024.
Yeah, so with this here, this might be a bit of a minor upset, but I'm going with Thomas Booker.
Really?
Yeah, because
the
Eagles don't have a lot of depth on the interior. If they're looking for kind of like that D-tackle, DN hybrid type, they have Milton Williams. Maybe Thomas Booker, you think of him as like a 3-4 end type player. He has draft pedigree. He was on the practice squad last year, but new coaching staff now. Maybe Thomas Booker pushes for it.
I would go Grant Calcaterra here.
Yeah, I figured.
Because 20 catches is like, if Goddard goes down and they don't end up signing a backup tight end and they're just giving the job to Calcaterra, that doesn't seem too lofty.
Let's go Calcaterra. Yeah. That's where I was leaning.
Okay. I like the case for Booker.
By the way, I should mention by name, Michael, when we were in Seattle. I didn't want to, like, if he's trying to keep his identity to himself, but I think first name's fine.
Presumably there are more than
there's
one.
There's more Michael working for Amazon. Yeah. Shout out to Michael.
Shout out to Michael Richards, your good friend.
What? Kramer?
Yeah.
No, definitely not.
Next up, a tight end matchup. Noah Tongeai,
mm-hmm.
Good ping pong player.
Yeah.
Going up against Albert Okwuegbunam, and we made his very lofty 8 touchdowns in 2024 for Albert O.
Yeah, Noah doesn't leave. Noah's got a little Richard Rodgers to him. He spent some time in that tight end room with Richard Rodgers. It's like, Richard, what's the key to keep coming back here, right? And I don't think Albert O gets 8 touchdowns, so... The threshold for Noah is to be on the roster opening day. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
The 53-man.
53-man. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't think it's likely.
8
that
touchdowns for Alberto. I think I would go Tongeai.
Yeah, I'm going Tongeai here. That's the beauty of this game, is these are outcomes that are not likely.
It's this long-lasting game that has been sweeping the nation for all these years.
It could. This That's is fun. Beauty. You see, this is what's great about Bo, is he comes up with different framing devices to have a conversation about things. I wanted to do when we were talking about the show ideas yesterday, I was like, how about we have a bracket of like every player on the Eagles, right? And we come up with the best player. I was like, nah.
I mean, what is that? Come up with the best player on the team. I mean, what
I thought
is
that'd
that?
Be fun. I thought having like AJ Brown against Lane Johnson in the Final Four would stimulate good conversation, right? Instead, we go Noah Tongeai versus Albert O getting 8 touchdowns. But this is also good conversation.
I mean, you chose this too.
Yeah. No, I like this. I like this. Shout out to Stark. We were talking to Stark, our coworker here, and he's like, "What are you guys talking about today?" We're like, The bottom of the barrel.
Show for 9 people.
Yes.
All right. Tyler Hall, who they signed yesterday. Tyler Hall wins the job and is the Eagles' primary nickelback this season. Or we're going with another futures guy here. Wide receiver Griffin Hebert.
Yeah.
6'1", 239, which is a little hefty for a wide receiver. Undrafted out of Louisiana Tech in 2023. Ran a 4.58 at his pro day. Joined the Eagles practice squad in week 16. And, of course, is still part of the Eagles' monster recruiting effort to get L'Jarius Sneed over from Kansas City.
Yeah, so when the Eagles signed Griffin, I think they listed him as a tight end. He's kind of like a tight end wide receiver hybrid.
They got a couple of those.
Yeah. Now, let's see if he can pull in Sneed, right? I mean, he's got to pull that. He's got to be the ace recruiter that they expected. But I'm thinking, between these two, I would go Tyler Hall, who's been a primary nickel before.
Yeah, I go Tyler Hall as well. We can talk about him more as it moves on. Next up, Joseph Ngata, the big-bodied wide receiver from Clemson, who had a couple days of some minor splashes in training camp last year, but ultimately did not make the roster. Spent the year on the practice squad. Or your boy Darian Kennard, who was a fifth-round pick of the Kansas City Chiefs in 2022, 6'5", 322, played only one game over the course of his two seasons in Kansas City. Still just 24 years old. Did not test well athletically, but he is a big fella and has big long limbs, according to the mock draftable charts. Where do you come down on this one?
Yeah, this is a hard one.
Oh, and this one for Kennard is active roster all year, not just making the week one roster.
Yeah, this is a hard one for me. This is a good matchup for the selection committee here. This is one. This is like your Mississippi State, Michigan State. Yeah, it's a hard one to determine. I liked what I saw from Joseph Ngata last offseason. I thought he came on. There was a time when I had him on the 53. Clearly did not make it, but they kept him around. They gave him a big bonus coming out of Clemson. I did hear recently that watch out for Kennard. And maybe there's a little Fred Johnson here, right? A player they signed on the waiver wire, looks good in camp, and they try to keep him. I'm leaning toward Ngata just because the threshold has to be on the active roster all year, right? Maybe there's like an IR stash or something with Kennard.
That's interesting. Yeah, but I didn't consider that.
I can be talked out of this.
Yeah, I mean, I would say my general philosophy on the futures guys is kind of the opposite of your draft pick pedigree, because my thought process is if a guy was a third round pick, he was given every chance by his team. Like, teams gave up on him for a reason. Now, late round picks is a little bit different. It's a sliding scale. We'll get to Brandon Smith or Terrell Lewis coming up a little bit. Like, those guys play premium positions, have all the athletic tools in their bodies, and multiple teams have said no thanks, right? So that's like enough signal. Whereas a guy like, even if it's Jason Poe, like, what if he was thought of as a bottom of the roster guy everywhere he's been, but he's given a shot? It's like DeAndre Carter. If he gets in the right spot and he gets a chance to fight for a job, then maybe he can do that. I don't know. I think Kennard is sort of in the middle there. Then, the Chiefs are a good organization. It's not like they've had coaching turnover. So Andy Heck got to look at him for 2 years. Didn't think that he was worth being on the roster.
Good reference.
They've got Prince Tegu-Anogo, so they thought that he was sub that. But Kennard does sort of look like a Stoutland type project. He's got these huge physical tools. I think I would lean Kennard.
Okay. Yeah, I like your point there about some of these guys on future contracts who are draft picks elsewhere and did not make it.
Alex Singleton, the guys who in my memory end up like eking over the line are guys who have been underdogs the whole time.
Well, yeah. So to that point, and like, we're in draft season now, I remember talking to an executive one time and I thought I asked like this great question: how do you hit on a pick in like the seventh round or something like that? And what the person said was like, you can't have the hubris to think that you're evaluating guys that are like on TV every week better than everyone else. Like, if Jalen Mills was the exception, but there was an off the field thing there. But like, if there's a guy who's starting on Alabama or LSU and they're on the board in the sixth or seventh round, it's not like you're like, oh my God, You know, our evaluation of him is you know, the rest of the league doesn't know who this guy is. You're better off taking a swing on a Jordan Mailata, like a Bryce Brown, someone who was a former top recruit who really didn't play much college football. Take a swing on someone like that than someone who's like on TV every Saturday that people know about.
Yeah, I think like it's like free agency. You always want to be thinking, why is this person available?
Exactly.
It's like in a trade conversation. Why are they still on the board? And if it makes sense, then yeah, I think you can trust your evaluation. Yep. Otherwise, you got to sort of second guess it a little bit. So are we going Ngata or Kennard?
I'm deferring to you. You're going Kennard here?
I would go Kennard.
All right, let's do Kennard.
I like Joseph Ngata. I've only talked to him a couple of times. Nice okay. guy. I was never all the way.
Yeah, you were kind of saying Zach.
I've been sort of skeptical of him.
Yeah, this was now this summer. Our new listeners will see this. Bo is an awesome training camp observer.
Here we go. Yes,
it's true. Bo and his history with the 53-man roster is evidence of this. But and his history with camp crushes too is evidence of this. But also, Bo knows he's an astute practice observer. So if like his co-host one day is like, it's like, oh, I saw this tall wide receiver make a nice catch in 7-on-7, and Bo's like, come on, I mean. I'm over here watching one-on-ones. This is like real football. 7-on-7 where there's no pads on. It's basically a glorified passing drill. And you see a 6'3 receiver catch the ball over a 5'9 corner. And you think this guy has some juice. Like
you were probably missing that was actually Tanner McKee pop and not Joseph Ngata pop.
Yeah, you're like, I remember my first beer, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
All right, last matchup of the first half, the left side of this bracket of the futures guys here. We've got Mekhi Gardner,
mm-hmm.
who almost made the team last year, spent the season on the practice squad, was elevated for a couple games, was a corner in camp. Seemed like they moved him to safety once the season started. That's where he was lining up when he was elevated in those games. He's going up against the aforementioned Brandon Smith. The Penn State linebacker / edge rusher who tested like out of the gym in the 2022 pre-draft process, was a fourth round pick then, and one of fourth Smiths on the Eagles roster, and was a journalism major, Zach.
And a great journalism program at Penn State. It's produced outstanding reporters such as Jenny Vrentas, right?
Is it Vrentas or Vrentas?
It's Vrentas.
Okay.
Sorry, Jenny. But Jenny, Jenny's a former coworker of mine, awesome reporter, went to Penn State.
No doubt about it. One of the best in the game.
Yeah. So
they should name the sports journalism program after Jenny.
It's named after not after Curly. I'm sorry. I have to research this. But in any event.
Curly? Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah. But I might be conflating with a different curl. Yeah,
I'm confused.
Well, give me one second here. You talk real quick. Can you talk instead of making this?
All right, let's talk about things that are good.
All right, correct. John Curley, the John Curley Center for Sports Journalism. I'm correct there. I was worried that there was like a Curry involved. A Curly involved in the Paterno thing, and I might have been conflating it, and I was going down the wrong the wrong thing. But I was correct on that.
Good save.
Yes. I saw a I got to keep going now. That's this. I saw a joke on Twitter last week that made me laugh.
Now I'm worried. You're maybe, transitioning from Joe Paterno to I saw a joke on Twitter last week.
Yeah, I will just say it. So the joke, it's not something to joke about, okay, but it was in the context of the Eagles, we can laugh about it, okay? Do you know where I'm going with this?
No, let's see.
Okay. When James Franklin said when James Franklin talked about the situation with Howie Roseman, like with Saquon Barkley, someone put.
I know the joke, and I don't know if you should say it.
Okay, so I won't say it then. Okay, thank you. All right, so I won't say it then.
Okay. So, Mekhi Gardner or Brandon Smith?
I will go with Mekhi Gardner here. Special teams value, versatility in the defensive back.
I think that the Mekhi Gardner has a chance to win this whole thing.
Yeah, I can see that.
I would go with Mekhi Gardner over Brandon Smith too. Although between Brandon Smith and Terrell Lewis, more guys of that 3-4 edge body type that we've talked about, maybe they're looking for.
Yeah.
Maybe one of the, like, you know, if let's say Zach Bond suffers an unfortunate injury, you need another guy there. They've got a couple of backup options.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, Shiel went to Penn State. That's who I should have mentioned. I mean, Jenny obviously is awesome, but Shiel's awesome too.
You weren't doing that on purpose?
No, I wasn't. I didn't want to leave anyone out, but I need to mention Shiel.
Yeah. You don't need to mention him.
Yeah, definitely need to mention him.
Mentioned enough.
Shiel's awesome.
Okay. All right. I think we should probably call an end.
Because we're right halfway through.
We're right halfway through the left side of the bracket. We'll get the right side of the bracket tomorrow. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read the other matchups for you so you can think about this and ruminate over the next 23 hours, okay? On the other side of the bracket, we've got Noah Ellis going up against Terrell Lewis being on the active roster all year. We've got Lasitas Smith going up against Shaquan Davis. We've got Julian Okwara being on the active roster all year going up against TDP, Tyrion Davis Price. We've got PJ Mustafer going up against Jacob Harris. Mario Goodrich against Tristan McCollum. LaRaven Clark against Brett Toth. Austin Watkins Jr. against Teron Jackson. And Lou Nichols against Ben Van Sumeren, finishing in the top two in snaps among Eagles off-ball linebackers. And then we'll play it out from there until there's just one winner. Very exciting.
Very exciting. Like this game. And good matchups by you.
Hey, thanks. I guess that'll do it for this episode of the PHLY Eagles podcast. We are back tomorrow to finish up one of the most inscrutable exercises we've ever done. We're going to talk about what happened in the tournament today. And we're actually hoping to have a guest tomorrow, which would be exciting, and waiting for final confirmation on that. So good stuff for you, Zach.
Yeah, I'm excited for tomorrow's guest.
Me too.
That's gonna be awesome.
If it happens, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't wanna, you know, overpromise and underdeliver.
Okay. All right,
but
good.
I think it should be good.
Yeah.
So that'll do it for this episode of the PHLY Eagles podcast. For Zach, I'm Bo. We thank you for listening and watching. Make sure that you subscribe and like all that good stuff on the channel. Thanks to Julia for gaming it up today. Great to have her back. And as always, we love you. Y'all silly like the mayor.